board this morning. Let's stand up and sing, getting ready to leave this world. How many's ready to go this morning? Well, I'm laying up my treasures in that home above, trusting fully, trusting in the Savior's love, doing what I can for Him is holy enough. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready to leave this world with sorrow. I'm getting ready for the day I burn by keeping, and I'm watching the day now. I'm getting ready to leave this world, trusting in the riches of His saving grace. Any earthly trial I His love can trace. Oh, sure that up in heaven I shall find the place. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Yes, I'm getting ready to leave this world of sorrow. I'm getting ready for the
of my They couldn't understand how the Prince of Peace could find them in the middle of their sea. But with a little faith and God's good grace, joy would overcome their desperate pleas. Now there are times in life when I've faced the storm and I've wondered how I ever could survive. But that's when I hear him call out my name, and tenderly he says, couldn't understand how the Prince of Peace could find them in the middle of their sea. But with a little faith and God's good grace, joy would overcome those desperate pleas. Now there are times in life when I faced the storm and I wondered if I ever could survive. But that's when I hear him call out my name, and tenderly he says, it is I.
The promises of God, Brother Ed, this morning in the Sunday school talked about the infallible Word of God. I know it's inerrant, and I know that I can stand on the Word of God. Let's sing, I can stand on the promises.
I have faith like
of faith. It's the size of a mustard seed. You can speak to that mountain in your life. Yes, you can. Most nothing's impossible to them that believe. You can stand upon the promises of God.
Brother Enoch Snow. And Brother Enix knows a young evangelist that's preached here. And the other night, they were traveling and were not able to be in service. So I think they tuned in to the Mixler feed from one of our services on a Sunday night. And we had a prayer meeting, prayer line rather, and called to the front and anointed with oil and prayed for them. And Brother Enix said his daughter, which is Liberty, that she had been sick and she was kind of fussy in the back and sleeping at that time. And as we began to pray, they began to pray. And the Spirit of the Lord kind of come into their truck and they just began to believe God. And then Brother Mark started singing, God is God, He's always been God. In two states that you had mentioned, that He's God in Tennessee, He's God in Oklahoma, or what, I don't remember what states you said, but anyway, the two He had said were the two states they had just driven through. And so they just really got to believe in God, that God knew right where they were at, and just began to pray. And when she woke up, her fever was gone. She, no evidence she had been sick. And so, amen. How many knows God knows right where you're at? I said, God knows right where you're at. So if you brought a need this morning to the house of the Lord, as they sing a little bit more, right where you're at, you can talk to the Lord. You don't have to go through a, you don't have to go through a fellow with a robe on. You can go straight to the throne of God yourself in the name of Jesus. I said, in the name of Jesus, as they sing, let's just worship the Lord. Come on.
If you have a need that you pray for so long, and it seems that answer won't come, just won't come, just have faith in Jesus, cause His word never fails, and you can stand upon the promises of God. Well, I'm standing on the
promises. I believe what His word says. I am standing on His promises. I believe what His word says.
I believe that God,
Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory. place. Let addictions be broken. Hallelujah, let favor be poured out in the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name, in the name, in the name of Jesus. We love you, we love you, we love you, we love you.
Have the faith, the size of a mustard seed. You can speak to that mountain in your life. Yes, you can. Cause nothing's impossible to them that believe. You can stand upon the promises of God. I'm standing on the
glory. I believe.
Step across the aisle, step a few rows back, welcome in each and every one to the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Tell them you feel the presence of God in this place to do something wonderful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. If you feel the presence of the Lord here this morning, say amen. Amen. I believe the Lord's here to help us today, don't you? Praise the Lord. Appreciate God's mercy. God's mercy to us. Deacons, help me this morning. Let's worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Amen. God bless you for your faithfulness to the house of the Lord. Amen. God bless you for the work of the Lord that we're doing and your partnering with us. Amen. Certainly appreciate your giving. Amen. Your faithfulness to the house of the Lord, the work of God. Amen. Let's give us unto the Lord today. Brother Johnny Sykes, lead us to the Lord in prayer, would you please? Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's let all our guests know we're glad to have them with us in God's house today. Amen. We greet you. Amen. 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 We greet each one of you in the love of the Lord. Amen. Certainly glad you're with us today in God's house. Amen. Certainly been a busy week, but we thank the Lord for the wonderful events that we were able to participate in this week. Wonderful awards night, Thursday night. And I appreciate the wonderful school year the Lord has given to us. And of course, graduation was Friday night. And Valia graduated from high school, so congratulations to her. Got her grandparents here from Wisconsin today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Certainly, certainly, that's a wonderful, wonderful recognition. And in the midst of all of that wonderful news and celebration, we also realize that Brother Steve and Sister Marcia and Brother Bob have our prayers today. the passing of Sister Purefoy. And I appreciate all those that were here for the funeral yesterday and those that prepared the meal. But continue to lift up the Purefoy family, Brother Steve, Brother Bob, and his sisters, Brother Dennis, all of those, that the Lord would just comfort them and help them. Certainly appreciate Sister Purefoy and her faithfulness, her love to the Lord. I may comment a little bit more about that later, but just the faithfulness to the house of the Lord, the work of God, all that she was able to do in the name of the Lord. Amen. I believe great will be her reward. And we're blessed today in this generation because of the previous generations that were faithful to the Lord. Amen. We're able to, some of you young folks are shouting in buildings that you didn't pay for and didn't build because somebody else was faithful. Amen. And so it's up to your generation now to be faithful and to continue moving forward. But we lift up the Purefoy family in prayer. Also, Brother Boxey's here today, Sister Boxey's brother. They was buried middle of the week, so we are praying for Sister Boxey. And maybe embarrass him a little bit, but Brother Boxey and Sister Boxey, they always send flowers to every funeral of those that are associated with the church. And again, Friday night at the funeral home, I saw the flowers from the Boxey family to the Purefoys. And so I really appreciate Brother and Sister Boxey doing that, something they take upon themselves to do, and been doing that for many, many years. So I appreciate the Boxey family. Want to continue to lift up Sister Boxey, Sister Mitchell in prayer at the passing of their brother. Amen. Continue to pray for the choir trip that's coming up. The choir will be leaving Friday and driving to Oklahoma, and we'll be taking the bus leaving Friday evening around 6 or so and driving out to Oklahoma. And Lord willing, I'll be preaching for Brother Douglas Meadows Sunday morning, Sunday night. The choir will be with me Sunday morning. Then they're going to Brother Darrell Meadows Sunday night. And then I'll be preaching Tuesday night at the Bristow meeting, the camp meeting. So somebody asked me if I was looking forward to my vacation. I don't know if that qualifies as a vacation, going to ride a bus with teenagers for 16 hours, preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then Tuesday night of a camp meeting. I don't know if that qualifies, but I'll take it if that's what it is. But pray for the choir as they travel there and back. And more than just enjoying the trip, I pray they're a blessing to the churches where they're at and the camp meeting. And then I also pray that they're blessed while they are there. Amen. That they are just changed and transformed into the image of God and become more like Jesus. So pray that it is a profitable trip. And so I encourage you next Sunday to be faithful to the house of the Lord. I realize this is Memorial Day weekend. Some are traveling. I pray they'll be back. But Dad will be preaching here next Sunday morning, Sunday night. So I'm leaving you in great hands. I know you're looking forward to that. And I just encourage you to be faithful to the house of the Lord. Amen. Because I'm taking quite a few of them with me out there. So I really encourage you to be faithful to the house of the Lord next Sunday and Sunday morning, Sunday night. And if you've always had a different pew you wanted to sit on up front, then next Sunday might be your chance, all right? But I encourage you to get right in and have church during next weekend services. Amen. Had a preacher call yesterday looking forward to camp meeting and never been here before, but said he's heard about it and he wants to come for a spiritual renewing for his ministry and for him and his wife. And so camp meeting's coming up June 26th through June 30th. Brother Dwayne Gallagher, which is good to have the Gallagher sisters with us today, but their father will be here. She's coming to redeem Autumn, so I'm feeling a hindering spirit while I preach this morning, but Sister Autumn's been teaching for us this semester at BCA, and she's going back home to finish a degree, so but we just appreciate her and love the work she has done, and we just want to give her a good hand today. Amen. Appreciate her so very, very much. Amen. We've just enjoyed being around her, and not just in the classroom is she a wonderful teacher, but on Monday nights when Beth would cook for the Heritage students, felt like I had a younger version of Clifton Gallagher with us. As she is hilarious. She is funny. And so we love the Gallagher family, and Brother Dwayne Gallagher will be preaching the day services at camp meeting. Brother Shoecraft will be preaching the night services. So it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful camp meeting. So that's June 26th through the 30th. And again, the hotel's coming up this year. If you can do what you've done the last 5 years, 4 years or so, would be a great, great blessing. We'll be doing that in the next couple of weeks, allowing each family to take a night if you're able to do that, or more nights. And it certainly has been a blessing to be able to provide those rooms for the camp meetings, as well as it allows you to participate directly into camp meeting and reap the rewards of blessing the man of God. I feel like God will bless your family as you bless the men of God. So remember all of that. Amen. So just trust the Lord will have his hand on camp meeting in a special, special way. Stand with me this morning. We're going to get right into the word of the Lord. A few extra announcements, so forgive me for being lengthy there. But Matthew chapter number 7 this morning. Matthew chapter number 7. I want to talk to you about how to weather life's storms. How to weather life's storms. Amen. You going to help me preach this morning? Say amen. Amen. That was kind of weak. You going to help me preach this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Matthew chapter number 7. Starting at verse number 24, reading down to the end of the chapter. Matthew chapter number 7, starting at verse number 24. If you have a red lettered edition Bible, you'll know that this is the conclusion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, starting in the 5th chapter of Matthew. So Matthew chapter number 5 and Matthew chapter number 6 and 7. Jesus has given to us the Sermon on the Mount and the greatest of preachers and so much in that. And he ends this sermon with this parable that I want to preach to you about today. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Amen. God bless you as you're seated today. Again, I want to talk to you about how to weather life's storms. How to weather the storms of life. It's a story about building. It's a story about building. And if you've ever built anything, you know building is hard work. If you've built anything and you know it's hard work, say amen. Amen. Building is, it is extremely, extremely hard work. The design, the vision, the plan, before a nail is even hammered, building can be difficult. Building can be stressful. Certainly, building can be stressful. All the codes, all the revisions, certain missteps, making sure everybody is doing what they're supposed to do. Building can be extremely, extremely difficult. Matter of fact, I was reading the other day about a billion-dollar project that's being constructed near Los Angeles, and it is already 1 year behind. It won't be completed until 2020, and it's simply because of all of the rains that California had in the past 6 months or so. So a billion-dollar project, although all the engineering, all the architect is completed and ready to go forward, even the rain itself can be a hindrance to a building project. Building is difficult work. When Beth and I were getting ready to build a house, a lot of people stressed to us, you better have a good marriage. You better have a strong marriage if you're going to build a house together. Now, went really easy for us. I did the outside, she did the inside, and we both got what we wanted. But for some folks, building a house together as a married couple can be entirely too stressful. It is indeed hard work. And so Jesus tells a parable about building a structure. But in the midst of teaching us about building a structure, he's not so much talking about the house, the structure, as he is talking about life. He's talking to us about how to build a strong life. How to build a life that will withstand the storms and the tests and the trials of life. And here's what I find about people that come to church. They're more intentional about building a physical structure than they are building their life in God. Because the difference, notice the comparisons are are evident in our story today. There were two men. Both of them built a house. Both of them had a desire to build a house. Both of them probably built a house that was similarly constructed with the same materials. The Bible tells us that the storms came, and so it seems as if these two houses were built in the same proximity, and so because they're built in the same proximity, they both encounter the same storm. So two men have a desire to build a house, build similar houses in similar locations. There are so many comparisons in the story, but there's one contrast between the two men, and that is what they build upon. One man builds upon sand, the other man builds upon the rock. One man doesn't do any work excavating and builds just on what he can see. The other man builds upon the rock, and his house is going to stand. And so the consequences of their decisions are so very, very vast, because at the end of the story, the Bible said the man that builds upon the sand, great was the fall of his house. For years, I thought this was a story about a soil test. It's not really a soil test at all. It's really a preparation test. It's really about a man that's willing to do his due diligence. And Jesus likens this to a man that hears the words that I've said. Now think about it. Come with me and let's think about it. For three chapters now that they have heard Jesus talking. For three chapters they have heard Jesus talk about life, prayer, fasting, worship. They have heard Jesus talk about giving, divorce, adultery. They have heard Jesus just expound upon every element of life. He has taught them how to build a godly life. And his conclusion is a parable. His conclusion is this. He divides his crowd intentionally. He said, "Those of you that have heard my sayings and do them," notice that phrase, "and do them, will be like the man that builds his house upon the rock. But those of you that have heard my sayings and do them not," just ignore them, "will be like a man that builds a house upon the sand, and great will be the fall of it." The only difference between this crowd are those that have heard the word and will do the word, and those that will hear the word and will not do the word. Here's what I find after 20 years observing of pastoring. People love to hear the word more than they like to do the word. You don't have to shout amen. Matter of fact, I can preach this one all by myself today. People love to hear the word. They'll come week in and week out. They'll be faithful to the house of the Lord, and they want to hear the word. Preach the word to us. Preach the sermon. Preach about Jesus. Preach about the love of God. Preach the word to us. Matter of fact, some of us are really good about hearing the word. We're so good about hearing the word, when somebody says something that does not line up with the word of God, we know it is incorrect, because we have heard the word our entire life. We were dedicated to the Lord as a baby. We've been raised in church, and we come this morning to hear the word of God. But we're not so good at doing the word of God. It seems as if there's a disconnect between those that hear the word of God and those that want to do the word of God. And it must have been that way in Jesus's day as well, because he differentiates between the crowd. He differentiates between those that are going to do the word, but those that will hear Jesus and not do the word. It would lead me to the understanding of this principle. If they heard Jesus and not everybody did the word, chances are there are going to be those that hear me and will not do the word as well. So what's the difference? Well, you say faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. I'm here to increase my faith today. Preach me the word and my faith will grow. Faith cometh by hearing. You're right, my friend, but the Bible also says that if we hear the word and not become a doer of the word, we deceive ourselves. So not only do I want to hear the word of God today, I want to know, thus saith the word of the Lord, but there's something inside of me. I come to put it into practice. I want to receive the Lord, and there is the process. There is the process of the text, and that is those that hear the word, but those that will put it into practice and will do the word. So how do you put it into practice? Let's look at this story today, and the process is when you hear the truth and then put it into practice. The wise man is the one that receives the truth from the Lord and responds in a way that no one else will, because then he begins to dig down to the rock. He begins to remove the sandy soil to get down to the rock. Can I tell you, the success of hearing God's word is found when you take the word of God and then you wrestle it into your life and then you implement it and begin to live out the truth of God's word. It doesn't do us good if all we do is hear the word of God and then never put it into practice. The benefit, the glory, the honor of coming to the house of the Lord is to hear the word of God, receive the word of God, and then begin to put it into practice. And when I leave, I'm more like Jesus. And when I get up tomorrow, I've got the word in my life. I didn't just hear the word, but now I'm doing the word. Amen. I want to preach to you that today that we need folks that are becoming better at doing the word of God, not just hearing the word of God, but folks that have put it into practice, that know how to build homes and houses that can stand the struggles and the tests and the storms of life. I want to build a marriage that can handle the stresses of life. I want to raise children that can handle the storms of life. I don't want to spend my time building something that when the storms blow and the winds come in, that I lose everything. But I want to be able to look out in the storms of life, because they are going to come, but have built something on the solid rock of God's word that will stand the test and the storms of life. How many want to build something that'll last? Well, the secret is, do the word. Hear the word and then do the word. Because you notice in this text this morning that doing the word of God involves getting down to the rock. Notice that. Notice the truth of digging down to the rock. All of the sand had to be removed. All of the sand had to be removed. This man builds down to the rock. That rock was not sitting on level grade. That rock was not sitting there and he started to build his house. But that man got a shovel. That man got an excavator. And he began to dig down to the rock. And that is the process. That is the separation distinction between those that will build a house that will weather the storms of life and those that will not build a house that will weather the storms of life. It is the difference between your marriage making it and you ending up in divorce. It is the difference between your children serving God and your children growing up and leaving the church. This, my friend, is the element. This is the key ingredient, is that you begin to excavate down, that you begin to remove the soil of what people think about you. You got to get past that. The soil of people's opinion, the soil of a family dysfunction. You say, well, my granddaddy this and my daddy that. You got to remove all of that sand. You've got to get it out of the way of that generational thinking and say, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. You've got to begin to dig out some of that sand. It's work, I understand. There's going to be sand flying everywhere, but the reason is this. You are trying to build a house that 10 years and 20 years and 30 years, it will still be standing. It'll still be there when the storms of life come. It doesn't matter. Your wife may not want to dig with you, but just keep digging, my brother. I said, dig down till you hit the rock. Young folks, your parents may not want to dig, but just dig down till you get to the rock and say, as for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. There may be some older folks today and say, hey, my children have gone crazy, but I'm going to keep digging down to the rock and believe they're coming back in Jesus' name. They're coming back in the name of Jesus. Think about a friend. Think about the saints of God that I buried this year. Think about Sister Purefoy yesterday. Think about Sister Rustin at the beginning of the year, and shortly thereafter Sister Edenfield. I cannot get out of my mind the idea that they were all saved in that general span of time in the 50s. They come to Christ. Think about two things. Number one, they really got saved and stayed saved for 60 plus years. You're not getting that. But they got saved and stayed saved for 60 plus years. And number two, they stayed in one church for 60 plus years. I wish you could look from a pastor's perspective in 2017. Folks can't stay saved 72 hours. They can't stay saved from Sunday to Sunday. You might as well say amen. You know it's the truth. They can't stay saved a month. Camp meeting's coming on. There'll be some that get saved in camp meeting and they won't make it to the next camp meeting. I don't know what it is about this generation, but they want it so easy. They want everything microwaved and handed to them. And the first time a struggle comes along, the first time a bump in the road comes along, they fall out of the wagon. They lose their faith and say, well, I don't feel like going to church. I just don't feel churchy today. I just don't feel like worshiping today. I'm going to lay in this bed. I'm just going to hang out on the lake on Sunday. There was something in that generation, a generation or two ago, that it didn't matter how they felt. Maybe it's this. Here, you want my theory? It's like a nose on the face. Everybody's got one. It's the generation before me. They wanted it to be so easy for the next generation because they had to struggle for some stuff. They had to work through some stuff and to wait on some stuff. They didn't want their children to have to struggle through it. And so they cut out some of the process and they just handed it to the next generation without a struggle. And you and I both know if you're giving something without a struggle, if you're giving something that you didn't have to pay for and wait on, that you really don't appreciate it, it's easy come and easy go. But that older generation, they had to struggle through it. They had to walk to church. They shouted without air conditioning. They shouted in the cold. Oh, come on now, friend. Amen. They shouted when they didn't have light. They shouted during the wars. They shouted because they really, really got saved. But this generation, it's so easy that it's just given to them. And the first time a struggle comes along, well, I'll just stay home, or I'm going golfing, or I'm going fishing, or I'll find another church. But I'm asking anybody today, are you interested in building a house that'll stand? Are you interested in building something that'll stand the storms of life? I'll tell you how it happens. Get your shovel out and start throwing sand out of the way. The sand of people's expectation. The sand of struggles and trials. The sand of dysfunctional thinking. That sand that says, I'm not willing to go through anything. And brother and sister, before this service is over, why don't we get down to the rock? Why don't we hit that rock and say, hey, beloved, here's something we can build on. Here's something that'll stand. Here is something that is solid. I don't believe this generation is building on the rock. They seem like they're building on the sand. Because soon as the tide changes of fads, they change. As soon as social media swings one way, they swing the other way. But can I tell you, God's word is settled. I said, God's word is settled. I made up my mind years ago that I wanted to build something solid. Amen. I wanted to build something that'll stand. But I know this about a foundation, and it's not very attractive. It's not very pretty. Nobody shows up and say, hey, boy, that's a beautiful foundation you're building. The other day I was talking to a preacher friend of mine over in Alabama. And he used to be a trim carpenter, but he started business 5 years ago, and it's doing extremely well. I don't know, probably 50, 60 employees. And he said, I'm tired of sitting behind a desk. I got to get out and do something. So he's going to start trimming churches like he used to do, and he got two big churches coming up to do it. He said, I got to do something that I can see. I got to do something I can sit back and be proud of. He's going to go in and build and trim out some churches, and everybody's going to say, wow, wow, look at how beautiful. Look at how pretty. When they have the dedication service, all those churches, people are going to say, man, what a trim carpenter. Nobody's going to bring that old concrete guy up to the front, pat him on the back and give him a plaque and say, hey, boy, you did pretty foundation work. Man, you did a pretty job. Amen. Everybody looks at the finished product. This is what we see. But I tell you this morning, if somebody wouldn't have dug down, you're not getting it this morning. If somebody wouldn't have dug down deep and poured some footers, if there wouldn't have been some concrete in this footer and in this foundation, you and I would not be sitting here 25 years later. This building would have fallen. But I'm glad somebody dug down deep and poured some concrete and saying somebody could build something pretty. Amen. You say it looks like their life goes so easy. It looks like you just got a good marriage. It looks like everything goes your way. Hey, I want you to come here for a second. And I want to show you my shovel that is worn out, that I've dug down deep. I said I dig down to hit that rock. Amen. Don't judge a building by what you see, but look down deep. I said look down. Oh my God, this morning look down and see some foundational work and see some concrete and say, oh, that's the reason. That's the reason. I want some of you, my friend, at the altar this morning, amen, just to dig down and get down to the rock and say, preacher, we have been building on the sand. We come and we build on the sand. But the sand moves. The sand shifts. That's why you know folks that are built on sand. One week they're, woo, woo, glory to God, glory to God. Next week, woo. One week they're running around the church. And then 3 weeks we don't see them. Woo, hallelujah. 1 week they want to give an offering. Then about 6 months later they want to give another offering. Because sand is shifty. You can't build on sand. You can't build on the sand. It shifts. Tides shifted. Opinions shifted. But anybody this morning glad you're building on the rock? I said, anybody glad to be built on the rock? I said, the rock of ages, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't you get your shovel out this morning and say, I have heard the word of God. I have heard the word of God, but I'm ready to go to work. I'm ready to go to work. I'm ready to build a strong marriage. I'm ready to build godly children. I'm ready to build a strong church in the name of the Lord. I must not be getting through because I can look at some of your faces. I have no idea what I'm talking about. But I'm offering you a shovel. I'm not asking you to shout this morning. I'm asking you if you want a shovel. I'm offering you a shovel. But I promise you in 6 months, because notice the similarity in this story. The same storm. The floods came. And floods will come. Here's what I know. It don't matter how spiritual you live. It don't matter how godly you live. It don't matter how much you give in the offering. Floods are going to come. You can reject the words of the Lord and floods are going to come. The floods came to both houses. You look at the one that built on the sand, man, he's building in a hurry. It looks like he's really getting ahead of the game. The wise builder, he might have had a wife said, look at it. Why can't you do what he's doing? Look his house. He's already done. They're already having Christmas in the new house. An old wise man's out there with the shovel. Looking over at his neighbor's house, the lights are already peering through the window. Man, it looked pretty. Landscape, shrubbery, driving in, honking his horn over at the neighbor, pulling in with the garage door opener. Saying good night and the lights go out. Oh, wise man. But when the houses got finished, they looked the same. You look the same sitting in church. Same word, same church. But when the floods come and the storms blow, all of a sudden something starts shaking over there at the foolish man's house. His house starts wavering. All of a sudden, great was the fall of it. Great was the fall of it. Oh, wise man looks out in the middle of the night, sees the old neighbor's house fall down, puts his hand over on the wall and said, I knew it was worth it to dig down a little further. I knew it was worth it to dig down. Amen. I'm going to tell somebody, when the storms come, but your marriage is solid and your children are worshiping God, you're going to thank God. You got out your shovel on a Sunday morning. You're going to thank God. You got your shovel out and said, I'm not trying to keep up with anybody else. I'm not trying to keep up with Johnny over there. I
gotta build. I gotta build. Anybody interested in building something in Jesus' name? Oh, grab a shovel. Why don't you tell your neighbor right now, grab a shovel. It's time to grab a shovel and go to work. We need to build some men of God. We need to build some good marriages. We gotta build for the next generation. We gotta build some young people. We gotta build, we gotta build, we gotta build. I'm not looking for sand. I'm looking for a shovel. It's time to build in the name of the Lord. And when the devil comes and the storms blow, something rises up that says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I said, you're not going to be defeated and you're not going to lose out. You'll be victorious in the name of Jesus. Stand with me and let's worship God this morning, church. Come on. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's praise him like we got a shovel. Let's praise him like it's time to go to work. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, hallelujah. When you go to work tomorrow, what'd he preach on? What'd your pastor preach on? Preached on getting a shovel. Getting a shovel. But 6 months from now, matter of fact, I look back at some of your lives. I look back at some of the storms some of you have been through. You've been through some tough, tough storms. The only way you made it was before that storm came, you got your shovel out and you dug down. I said you dug down and you hit that rock. And when you hit that rock, you're able to worship God during the storm. You're able to worship God during the rain. You're able to worship God and magnify the name of the Lord. That's the kind of believer I want to be. That's the kind of church I want. I don't want to be wishy-washy. Where's so-and-so? I don't know. The storm took them out. I don't know. They lost their praise. I don't know. They just quit and they're gone. No. Let's build on the rock. Let's sing it, Brother Mark. Sing
it. I'm standing on the rock of ages, saved from every storm that rages, rich, but not from Satan's wages. Standing on the solid rock. Well, I'm standing on the rock of ages, saved from every storm that rages. Rich in love, I'm rich, not from Satan's
wages. Anybody interested in building on the rock? Instead of just hearing, build on the rock. But you have got to dig down. There's some stuff you got to get out of the way. The sandy soil's got to be out of the way so you can build on the rock. When we come to the altar, purpose in your heart to do it. Come on, church and guests. Let's gather into this altar. Let's build on the rock. Let's build on the rock. Come on and ask the Lord to help us today.